Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get in the Christmas spirit here. Rob, you and I both went to Miracle on the Plaza over the weekend. If you haven't gone, it's a great Christmas pop-up bar. Now, I hope you bring your savings account there because it's pricey. It's expensive, but it's a very festive mood. It's a very festive atmosphere. I'm not getting paid for this. I'm just telling you to do something Christmassy. I would put my Christmas excitement, Rob, at about a 7 out of 10. I'm not at a 10. I'm not the guy that's out here going caroling. I don't have a Christmas up, a Christmas tree up. I don't have a stocking up. But I do enjoy a little Christmas music. I've probably watched 3 or 4 Christmas movies in the month of December. I'm fired up and ready to go. Rob, how you doing today, my man?
I'm good, man. I mean, I'm not as fired up as you for the Christmas season, but I'm wading into the water that is the Christmas season. I'm easing into it.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll take a trip around the AFC West. We'll go to Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and Denver, Colorado to recap this week and also take a look ahead to the other three teams in the division as this continues to be one of the more competitive divisions in the NFL. At 3 o'clock, Mitchell Schwartz will join us in studio. In the 4 o'clock hour, Binkley will be here. Fun will be had everywhere. I think you guys know where today's show is starting.
Here's Allen, straight drop. Allen throwing, and it's knocked away. Miles Bryant able to knock the pass away, incomplete, and the Patriots come here and win the game.
I watched every single snap of last night's game between the Patriots and the Bills, and I found yesterday's game to be enjoyable. It was fun to me yesterday. You know what was fun? The Patriots were trying to win a way that I wasn't sure was possible in 2021. Now, I know the elements were not ideal, but the Patriots decided at probably 4 o'clock Eastern, yeah, we ain't throwing it today. Mac Jones is over on the side trying to get a little side work, trying to get a little side session in the bullpen. Why are you doing that? You need to practice your handoffs, my boy. You're not throwing the ball to anybody today. He was 2 for 3 for 19 yards. Rob, have you seen his passing chart? It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my entire life. You know how the NFL always asks for artifacts? Like, if you throw 8 touchdown passes, they'll ask for one of the balls and they'll put it in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Or if you ran for 300 yards, they'll ask for your cleat. They need to make a poster of Mac Jones' passing chart yesterday and hang it up somewhere. I'm sure they have a place for a poster, get a really nice frame. They should hang it up there yesterday. I'm not saying that I want every NFL game to play like that, but the intrigue of can New England win a game when they have absolutely no interest in throwing the football was really compelling to me yesterday.
I mean, really compelling. You were really excited watching that game. You weren't reaching down for your YouTube TV remote thinking to yourself, what else is on?
I never for a second considered turning it. I never for a second was unentertained watching yesterday's game. I was fully invested, and I thought the game lived up to it. The top text right now is, do the Patriots scare you? They don't scare me at all. We ask this question all the time. The answer with this team, the Kansas City Chiefs meaning, there's no team in the NFL that should scare you. The question to me is, do the Patriots match up well against you? And I think the answer is yes. I thought that 20-play drive that the Broncos had on Sunday night was foreshadowing to what a potential matchup against New England could look like. I think New England isn't going to turn the football over. They're not going to beat themselves. They are going to be committed to running the football, and they are the best defensive team in the NFL. So I think the answer is no. If you're asking a just yes or no question, do the Patriots scare you? No. Should the Patriots scare you? No. Do the Patriots match up well against Kansas City? I think the answer is yes, and I think they match up better against Kansas City than any other AFC opponent could potentially match up against Kansas City. So scare you? No. I think that's a silly question. No one in the NFL should scare you. Do they match up well against Kansas City? I think the answer is yes.
I think they do match up a little bit with Kansas City, but circling back to how you were enthralled with last night's game.
I loved it.
Let me guess, when Air Force and Army get together, you are locked in, baby. CBS Sports Network. Because that's what last night's game was. Two teams without a quarterback because of the environment, playing triple option football. Bill Belichick tipped his hand in pregame. He was talking to Lisa Salters, who had a miserable night. He had the Navy face mask on. He was telling people Mac Jones out here to hand the football off today. That was awful. That's awful for an NFL game. I don't mind it this weekend when Army and Navy get together. It drops to TV2 because of KUMU, and I'm excited for triple option football once a year. When the NFL's playing, I don't want to see that. I'm good. I'm done. Pass the ball. The forward pass has been invented. Football back when Sonny Jurgensen was playing is boring. That was last night's game.
I can't wait until these two teams play again in 3 weeks. I'll be absolutely locked in. We're not even going to talk about the Chiefs that Friday. I'm just going to break down Patriots and Bills for the entire 4 hours. It's going to be fun for everybody. I will say this, though. Yesterday's game between the Patriots and the Bills got me thinking about the worst sporting event I've ever attended.
7:06 to go in the game. 10-7 Broncos. 3rd and 11 for Denver. From its own 43 now. Ball is with Tebow to his left. 4 seconds. 3 seconds. Tebow takes the shotgun snap.
That gets
in the pocket. Pump fake. Now he's throwing long to the near side for Eric Decker. He's got him over the shoulder. 10-5 touchdown. Tebow puts it on the money. Burning Flowers and Rashard Langford. Shades of last week, when Tebow, just at the right time, was able to make a big pass play against the Oakland Raiders. A 57-yard bomb up the sideline to Eric Decker.
The worst sporting event I've ever been to in my entire life was November 13th, 2011. It was 17-10. It was a Denver Broncos win, and Tim Tebow was 2-for-8 for 69 yards and one touchdown. It's the least amount of fun I've ever had watching a sporting event. It set football back about 10 years. And you want to talk about when it was over for Tim Tebow, when we officially knew it was over? It was that November afternoon at Arrowhead when he went 2-for-8 for 69 yards. I'm still trying to figure out how the Chiefs lost that game. But actually, when I look at the box score from back in the day, Rob, I'm not that confused. Matt Castle was 13-for-28 for 93 yards. That's how they lost. That's how they lost. That's how they lost the game. I'm not that surprised. Now, in retrospect, I'm not really that surprised.
How was that game miserable to you? It was two quarterbacks throwing for 100 yards. That's last night's game that you told me was great. You were enthralled. You were locked in. Same game.
The Patriots would beat both of these two teams. the 2011 Broncos and the 2011 Chiefs. They'd beat both of those teams by 40 points. They'd beat both of them by 40 points. That then got me thinking, you know what it's time for, Rob? A random game. 913-576-7610. I am going to give away a Chiefs Kingdom flag. If you are not a diehard Chiefs fan, do not call this show right now. This is not your game. We'll have another game at some point in the future for you to have a chance to win a random game. But now's not the time. 913-576-7610. I'm going to ask you one Chiefs trivia question. Rob, you know the rules on the trivia question. You can name as many of the things as you want. The moment that you get the wrong answer, I hang up on you. That's the rules. That's how we play the game on here. You get as many chances as you want. But the moment that you miss, I hang up on you and we move on with our day. The phone lines, you get 3 minutes. If you don't get it, the text line gets the game. That's what we do on this show, random pop quizzes. Andrew, do you understand the rules of the game? Andrew, you there?
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, all right. Thinking back to 2011, they had two players who rushed for over 500 yards. This is a tough one. They had two players who rushed for over 500 yards this year. Can you name them?
Jamal Charles.
Jamal Charles is not one of the players. I asked Rob this question. He said that too. Jamal Charles is not one of the players. One of them, I think, is kind of easy. The other one, you're going to have to dig deep, or the text line's winning this prize. Tyler, in 2011, the Chiefs had two players run for over 500 yards. Can you name them?
Jackie Battle.
Jackie Battle is one of the two players. Can you get the other one for a Chiefs Kingdom flag?
How about Sean Drawn?
Not the correct answer. All right, we got one of the answers. Jeff, in 2011, the Chiefs had two players run for over 500 yards. This might not come as a shock to you. They were not that good offensively. Jackie Battle is one of the players. Who was the other player who rushed for over 500 yards?
Me?
Yes, I am talking to you.
Oh, sorry, C-Dot. Out of Greg Hill and Jackie Battle.
Not Greg Hill. This is 2011, not 1995. Robbie, in 2011, Jackie Battle ran for 597 yards. They had another player run for over 500 yards. If you know his name, I'll give you a prize. If you don't, I'm a hang up on you. Robbie, are you there?
Yes, hey.
Go ahead, Robbie.
Can we do Peyton Hillis?
He is not the correct answer. Ed, do you know the answer? Ed. Hanging up on Ed. Rob, you're doing a great job today with the phone calls. Jess, do you know the answer to the question?
Larry Johnson.
It is not Larry Johnson. It is not Larry Johnson. It's not Peyton Hillis. Text line that's already been suggested. The guy got hung up on. There were two players in 2011 who ran for over 500 yards. One was Jackie Battle. The text line hasn't even gotten the right answer yet. This is a player you guys all know. Kyle, do you know the answer?
Is it Dexter McCluster?
It is Dexter McCluster. He is the correct answer. In 2011, Dexter McCluster was the second leading rusher for your Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, this was probably your favorite Chiefs team of all time. This is probably your favorite Chiefs team. Jackie Battle led the team in rushing with 597 yards, and Dexter McCluster was second with 516. You probably loved that Chiefs team. They didn't run the football. You loved them. That's your favorite Chiefs team of all time.
I mean, if they had confident quarterback play, that'd be the dream.
No, they didn't have confident quarterback play. Oh, they did not. Matt Castle was their starting quarterback. He had 10 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. They also got a Tyler Palco in there. Tyler Palco, in 4 starts, had 2 touchdowns with 7 interceptions. He was on the take. He was 100% on the take. All right, Kyle, stick around. Rob will get your information. We'll send you your Chiefs Kingdom flag. Coming up on the other side, we'll take a journey around the AFC West. We'll go to Los Angeles, Las Vegas, and Denver, Colorado. That's all next. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Coming up in just about 25 minutes, I want to share a story with you that could possibly ruin a lot of your lives. And I just want to give you a heads up, because that's what I do here on this show. I give people heads up. But before we do that, speaking of ruined lives, we'll head to Denver, Colorado, because all the Chiefs have done over the last two presidential election cycles is ruin the lives of Denver, Colorado residents. We'll head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Andrew Mason. He does some fantastic work with DNVR. Andrew, how's it going, my man?
I'm doing okay. Better than Broncos fans are, but I'm doing fine.
How are they doing after losing 12 consecutive games to the Kansas City Chiefs?
I think there was a little more anger for the first four or five or so of them. It's just kind of become routine at this point. The difference on this one is at 6-5, one game back, they just beat the Chargers. I think there was a sense that if they have the right game plan, if they're patient, if they can pull off an upset. The interesting thing was, in terms of controlling the pace and getting the ground game going, they actually did have a pretty sound game plan, but were undermined by a great Chiefs defense and, frankly, Teddy Bridgewater having his worst game since he became a Bronco.
I think the Broncos defense played fairly well in the game. It was the offense and the special teams that let them down. The Broncos special teams basically gift wrap points for the Kansas City offense. And as you alluded to with Teddy Bridgewater, no team in the NFL can win with that kind of quarterback play.
Right. And the thing with Bridgewater, he's been a fairly mistake-free quarterback most of the year. He came into that game not having thrown an interception since week 7. And then, of course, had two of them. Now, one was kind of a deflected pass there at the line of scrimmage. But then that first interception he had in the third quarter, just an awful throw right to Juan Thornhill, as though he was targeting Juan Thornhill. And the other thing is, that game kind of exposes the limitations of Teddy Bridgewater, because if you're going to have an offense like that that works, you need at least the threat of a vertical passing game to go along with the ability to run the ball on the ground. Javonte Williams had a great game running the ball, but there was no vertical threat. Tried to go downfield a few times, they ended in incompletion. And it's just sort of a reminder that, once again, the Broncos have a guy at quarterback, but not the guy to compete with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert in this division.
So I think the $100 million question is, so what's next for the Broncos? If you have a guy and not the guy, what are the Broncos doing to find the guy?
Yeah, well, I think if you get to the offseason, there's a potential that maybe, Russell Wilson might be available if he doesn't want to be the Seahawks anymore. Or Aaron Rodgers. Of course, the rumors were hot and heavy about Rodgers back in the springtime and into the summer. So I think that may well be plan A, but there are going to be plenty of suitors for those quarterbacks if somehow Rodgers and Wilson are available. And then I think that would lead them to plan B, which would probably be trying to identify the quarterback that they like best in this draft class and picking that guy in at some point in the first round. But they're still kind of spinning their wheels here. And it looks like the quarterback carousel one way or the other is going to continue. And then whether Vic Fangio survives as head coach or not is going to be key, because if he ends up losing his job, if the team can get things turned around and he does, and then they do move on from him after the season, do they go in the direction of an offensive-minded coach, or do they look for somebody with previous head coaching experience? Because the last two coaches who didn't have head coaching experience, Vance Joseph and Vic Fangio, hasn't worked out great.
I was going to end with the Vic Fangio question. I think Vic Fangio can coach. I think with what we've seen from the Broncos defense, he's certainly a good enough coach that can put together a high-level defense. The problem has just been the offense, and you just can't win, or you're not going to win a lot of games, especially in a division with arguably the best quarterback in the league and a rising quarterback like Justin Herbert. You're just not going to win a lot of games with the 19th best quarterback in the league the way the Broncos have.
Exactly, and they're facing being kind of in the backwash of the AFC West for, frankly, a long, long time. They can't upgrade the quarterback position. And you're right, Vic Fangio's done a great job, you know, with this defense. It's one of the best in football right now. And last couple of games in particular, the game plan has been excellent. And actually, going back to even late October, the defense has been in pretty good form ever since giving up 34 points to the Raiders back in October. After that, the defense has really kind of tightened things up. But if you do bring back Fangio, you probably have to make some changes on the offensive coaching staff. And would they be the right changes? He's already fired one offensive coordinator, and Rich Gangarello, after 2019. Does Vic Fangio maybe move on from Pat Shurmur to save his own job for a year? And that's going to be up to George Payton as well, the new general manager who came in back in January. And certainly he probably has his own ideas as for what works on the sideline.
That is Andrew Mason of DNVR, who covers the Denver Broncos after a 12th consecutive loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. Thanks, Andrew.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Absolutely. That's Andrew Mason, who covers the Denver Broncos. I think a lot of teams in the NFL say that they're a quarterback away and the roster really isn't complete enough. I think the Broncos have a legitimate case for us. I really like Williams, the running back. You've got Gordon as a really solid number two. I think they've got some good pass catching options. I like their defense. Just Teddy Bridgewater was really bad on Sunday, and he's an average quarterback, but the Chiefs just really made him look like he wasn't a competent quarterback. It's going to be interesting to see where the Broncos go here. They had a chance to draft Justin Fields. They had a chance to draft Mac Jones in the top 10, and they declined and took Patrick Surtain, who certainly is a good pick, but I just think there was a bigger need at the quarterback position. Speaking of quarterback, let's head to Los Angeles and hear more about their win on the road against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Motion man, Guyton left to right, looking left, still looking left. Herbert, shuffle speed, middle of the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Chargers! Keenan Allen with a bullet from Justin Herbert.
Very happy to be joined by our next guest, one of my favorite guests that we have, Daniel Popper of The Athletic. He covers the Los Angeles Chargers. Daniel, can you please help me make sense of the Chargers? Because 1 week they'll lose to the Vikings, and then the next week they'll go on the road and beat Cincinnati. I have no clue what to make of this team.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to pin down at this point. You know, the only thing that's really been consistent about this team is the fact that they've been inconsistent on really both sides of the ball. In this Bengals game, they came out offensively, and I think what happened was they were really able to push the ball downfield for the first time all season. I mean, Justin Herbert had a 10.7 air yards per attempt, which was by far his highest of the season. We hadn't really seen them push the ball downfield consistently like that. And it really opened things up for them offensively. I mean, Mike Williams, for 240-plus yard completions, those both led to touchdown drives. He hit Jalen Guyton on a 44-yard touchdown. That was just an outrageous throw across the field, I'm sure everyone has seen. And they were able to open up that 24-0 lead. You know, defensively, they were able to stop the run, and they've really improved in that area since the bye week. But the key in this game was just forcing turnovers. They've been really unlucky in the turnover department so far this season. I mean, they entered that game tied for third in the league and forced fumbles with 13, but they'd only recovered five of them. So I think you saw some of that turnover luck change, but it was a lot of lucky plays. You know, you talk about the interception that Michael Davis had in the first half where Jamar Chase should have scored a touchdown. He drops it. Davis intercepts it, but he got beat cleanly off the line in that play. The fumble return for a touchdown early in the fourth quarter that flipped the game. I mean, it wasn't really a forced fumble. It was more like an unforced fumble because Joe Mixon just dropped the handoff. That turns into a touchdown. So there are still some concerns defensively. They allowed the Bengals to convert 6-12 third downs. The third down defense continues to be one of the worst third down defenses in the league, but when you're able to get some turnover luck, that can flip the game. And then offensively, just being able to push the ball downfield really changed things for them on that side of the ball.
You mentioned it when it comes to the rush defense. I think that's really the stat of the game for the Chargers. 25 carries for the Bengals under 100 yards. How real is that, and do you think the Chargers can continue that the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think that's sort of been a misguided narrative. They were really bad early in the season. Like, they were the worst run defense in the league heading into their bye week, week 7, but they've really improved since the bye week. They had a great performance against the Steelers, obviously a great performance against the Bengals, not as great against the Broncos in that loss, but they're really more middle of the pack in terms of run defensive efficiency. So they've really turned things around. I think it's real. Now, they're always prone to some lapses in that area just because they don't really have the talent up front, and they're still missing Linval Joseph, who's on the COVID list. They're hoping to get him back this week, but it seems like they've made the necessary adjustments. They're playing more physical. They've really taken it upon themselves as a defense to man-to-man, you know, step up and win those battles and make the tackles and shed blocks and all those things that you need to be a good run defense. So I think it's real. I mean, they're not the best run defense in football, but I think they've established that since the bye week, they're more of a middle-of-the-pack team. And what that does is it sets up more third and longs, and it allows the pass rush to get home. It allows Brandon Staley to get into his bag and pull out some of these designer looks with Derwin James coming on blitzes, Nas Adderley coming on blitzes, bringing the slot corner Chris Harris on blitzes, blitzing their linebackers, and throwing more things at opposing quarterbacks. But the only way you can get to that stuff is if you get to 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-9, 3rd-and-10. In order to do that, you have to stop the run. That's what happened in this Bengals game. So it certainly is a positive trend that the run defense is improving, and it really creates more opportunities for them to get to the quarterback in those 3rd-and-long situations.
Right now, we're talking to Daniel Popper. He covers the Los Angeles Chargers for The Athletic. Last week when you were on, when we did the whip around, I asked you over under 9.5 wins for the Chargers, and you took the under. I'm imagining now you'll take the over, given the fact that they won on the road against Cincinnati.
I mean, I feel like I have to stick with what I said, right? I can't be flip-flopping here. I mean, listen, they're at 7 wins now. You expect them to beat the Giants. You expect them to beat the Texans. That gets them to 9 wins. And then they would only need one win among those 3 remaining division games to get to 10. So they're certainly in the mix there.
Change it, Daniel. Daniel, I can hear it in your voice. You want to change it to the over now. I would take the over now.
I want to stay consistent here. Listen, here's what I'll tell you. This team is so inconsistent that the narrative around them flips week to week. So they lose a game to the Broncos, and everyone's like, okay, they have depth concerns. This is not a real contender. They go beat the Bengals. They get some good turnover luck. They're able to push the ball downfield, and all of a sudden they're a Super Bowl contender again. But Brandon Staley loves to talk about illusions. He uses this word illusions a lot. Like, and there are illusions with this team. They got a lot of turnover luck in that Bengals game, and they're still not playing good third down defense, and there are still concerns about the defensive line. There's still concerns at corner, and we're another, a week away from them going into this Giants game, possibly dropping this game, and then all of a sudden we're back to where we started. So the truth is somewhere in the middle. I think they have a good chance to hit the over. They have a better chance to hit the over than they did heading into that Bengals game because they won that game. But I'm going to stay consistent here. I've stuck with 9-8 all season, and that's where I'm at. I'm not changing.
That is Daniel Popper. He covers the Chargers for The Athletic. Daniel, it's okay to change your picks. I do it all the time on this show.
I know, but part of it is I want to stay consistent. I want to sift through the illusions and give everybody the facts of this team. And the facts of this team is there are still some concerns. And, you know, one performance at Cincinnati doesn't change that for me.
I appreciate it. That's my guy, Daniel Popper, joining us on the show today. I'm not interested in being consistent here. We got tickets to sell. You know what I mean? We got tickets to sell. I'm not interested in that. The Chargers are hitting the over. Are you on that right now, Rob? On the Chargers in the over? So they right now the Chargers sit at 7-5. Their 5 remaining games are the Giants, Kansas City, at Houston, home against Denver, and at Vegas. They're going to go at least 3-2 down the stretch. At least 3-2. I will take the over on 9.5 wins on the Chargers right now.
Speaking of consistency, that schedule's pretty soft. You circling back to AFC West champs, you staying vigilant with your flop.
No, I'll still take Kansas City.
Okay.
I'll still take Kansas City.
I'm on the over on the wins too, but I wanted to see if you're coming back. That schedule's pretty spongy down the stretch.
I will still take Kansas City. In 2 weeks, unless something just drastic happens this weekend, I will take the Kansas City Chiefs to win on the road at Los Angeles in 2 weeks. I will take them to win on the road. A part of me kind of wants to get back on board with the Chargers, though. I mean, I am Chargers dot. I mean, can you be Chargers dot if you're not high on the Chargers? I can't do that. I can't be Corners dot anymore. And you guys just call me Chargers dot. I got to lean into it now at this point. Let's go to Vegas.
Three tight ends are in. Jacobs gets a handoff, cuts out to the left, breaks the tackle. Jackpot, baby! Josh Jacobs to the left side, dances in, and the Raiders are 2 points away from a deadlock.
We will end our AFC West whip around in Las Vegas, Nevada, and be joined by Scott Goldbranson. He is the host of Silver and Black Tonight. Scott, there's only one question to start with. How in the world do you lose at home 16-13 to the Washington football team?
Good question. I can sum it up in one word, and that's offense. The Raiders continue to not know what their offensive identity is, and we're approaching Christmas, Carrington. We're approaching December in the NFL playoff race, which spells disaster if you're a Raiders fan. They just can't get it going on offense. Their defense, while not a great defense, does enough to keep them in game. If you can keep a team to 17 points, you should be able to win. The Raiders can't put it together offensively, and it's quickly unraveling their season.
They're now heading to Kansas City on Sunday. They've typically matched up really well against Kansas City, but with the way Kansas City is playing, especially defensively, it's hard to see Vegas coming into Arrowhead and leaving with the win.
No, I agree with that 100%, and it's one of those situations where if you look at the Raiders and the Chiefs, both of them over the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks kind of came to a moment where they had to decide who they were going to be, what they were going to do in 2021. The Chiefs have taken the opposite approach. They're playing much better football and winning football games. The Raiders, on the other hand, can continue to be consistently inconsistent. And again, they've scored just 16 points in 6 of their last 9 games. They just can't seem to get that offense going after it started off so well, and Derek Carr started off the season doing so well at quarterback. They cannot seem to move the ball. They can't move the ball on third down. They're the worst in the league in third down efficiency, and they can't score in the red zone. And against the Chiefs defense that has continued to get better, I just don't see a path to victory for the Raiders at this point.
A lot of it to me is due to the regression of Josh Jacobs. He came out of the gates hot. He was the offensive rookie of the year out of Alabama. He's really cooled off. What's happened with Jacobs over the last year, year and a half?
Well, it comes down to being able to stay on the field. They always say, you know, your best ability is your availability. Well, Josh Jacobs just isn't available. And when he is available, he gets going and then he gets hurt again. I mean, this past game against Washington, the loss, he seemed to look better, seemed to look a little bit more himself. But it's not a surprise, Carrington, as great as he was coming out that first year out of Alabama. Remember, he was not the starter there. He didn't get the bulk of the carry. He did not, to me, ever seem to be a guy who's going to be able to shoulder the weight of being the quote-unquote bell cow of an NFL franchise at running back. And he's a good kid. He's a good running back. But I think already he's just unable to stay on the field, and the injuries have gotten to him. And he's also playing behind a patchwork offensive line. So all of that mixed together just makes Josh Jacobs inconsistent as well.
Right now we're talking to Scott Goldbranson for a couple of more minutes. He covers the Las Vegas Raiders for Silver and Black Tonight in Southern California. Also does pregame in Las Vegas for the Raiders. What's next for the Raiders? It doesn't look like they're going to be a wild card team. It looks like they're going to miss the playoffs. What do you think the next 3 to 6 months look like for the Las Vegas Raiders?
Well, unfortunately for the fans of Raider Nation, it's another year of complete turnover. I really believe you're going to see turnover in the front office. Will Mike Mayock retain his job as GM the way the season is coming to an end? I don't think so. We already know that interim coach Rich Bisaccia, there's no argument for him to stay on. He's done nothing to deserve the job. In fact, if you look at the coaching staff and what they've done, they seem to be regressing as well. The offensive approach is very conservative in a league that does not benefit that. Also, Bisaccia this past 2 weeks has said comments that have really, I think, irked a lot of people, talking about how it's not always about results, it's about men's character and so on. And so in an organization that puts just win baby ahead of everything else, when you have an interim head coach talking about character and not talking about the scoreboard, things are going to be good. So they're going to have to do that. And then they're going to go out and fill the roster. They have to. This is not a total teardown. There's some talent on this team, but they're going to have to fill that spot that Henry Ruggs created with his situation. They need another wide receiver. They need to address the offensive line, which has been an issue for 2 years. and they also need to look for help on that defense to continue to build. By the way, they're going to have to find that head coach, and that's going to be a big one coming in this offseason.
Scott, when you mentioned turnover, I didn't hear you mention the quarterback position. Do you think Derek Carr will be the quarterback for the Raiders in 2022?
So that was where I wanted to set you up to ask me the question, Carrington, because I think they have to address that absolutely, because if you have a new head coach, you have a new GM coming in, it's the perfect time to make a switch. And no, you're not going to go draft a young quarterback, because as you know, the NFL draft class for quarterbacks this year is one of the weakest we've had in a long time. And so I think the Raiders are going to have to do that. They have to decide. Mark Davis, the owner, is going to say, okay, is Derek Carr worth extending at $30 million a year? What I've seen in this performance this year and Derek Carr kind of withering again down the stretch here, the answer is no, I wouldn't do that. I'd start to think about letting your new head coach, your new GM with their philosophies, decide where to go. Quarterback, maybe you get a bridge quarterback for a while, a veteran who can come in and kind of steer the team for a while at an affordable price, and then look to develop a young quarterback. Because in the NFL, if you're thinking about developing a quarterback, it already means it's too late. So I think the Raiders need to make that move there. We'll see if Mark Davis agrees pretty soon.
That's Scott Goldbranson with Silver and Black tonight in Southern California. Also does pregame in Las Vegas covering the Raiders. I hope you enjoy 8-9.
I had them at 9-8, Carrington, so it's about the same. Very close, but yeah, it could get ugly here towards the back end. Always a pleasure to be on the air with you, my friend.
I appreciate it, Scott. I mean, just life comes at you fast if you're the Raiders. You know, you get off to a hot start. You're feeling optimistic about your coach. His password was password 123, and nothing was the same. It just hasn't been a good. Just hasn't been a good last 3 months for the Las Vegas Raiders. Not at all. Coming up in just a little bit, I'm going to share a story with you that will affect some of your lives. I'm also going to tell you about possibly the greatest television show idea I've ever heard. That's coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This is the best song in the Rocky universe. Turn it up, Rob. Rocky going through moments of self-doubt, unsure if he can still be the champion anymore. He takes that ride. He has to regain the eye of the tiger this moment. There's no easy way out, Rob. Is there a shortcut home? No. That's the best song in the Rocky franchise. No, it doesn't get all the love like Eye of the Tiger, but that's the best song in the Rocky franchise. The reason we're playing that is, have you guys heard this new show idea? So Stallone is going to star in a new drama. So there's this show. Do you watch Yellowstone, Rob? I've heard of it. I've never seen it before.
I'm aware
of it. I know it's
pretty
popular. I think Kevin Costner's in it. It just, the show's called Yellowstone. Just doesn't seem like a show that really interests me. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I've never seen a second of it before. Just doesn't seem like a show I'd be into. But I do know that it's really popular. So Stallone is teaming up with the creator of that show to do another show. Listen to the synopsis of this show, Rob. The series, which is set in present day, follows legendary New York mobster played by Stallone, who is faced with the startling task of reestablishing his Italian mafia to the modernized straight-shooting town of Kansas City, Missouri. Tell me this doesn't sound like the greatest show you've ever seen. This is Untouchables on the Plaza. This is Untouchables in the West Bottoms. Present day. Rob, you don't want to see this show? I want to be cast in this show. What do I need to do? I don't need a speaking part. Whenever they're talking mob business, can I like ride by on a bike? Can I just be on a Lime scooter? Just riding by, just minding my own business. But I want it like noticeable. Oh, hey, that's Carrington. Who do I talk to for this? Who had this idea? Of all the places that a retired New York mobster could relocate to, he's moving into Two Light. He's moving into Library Lofts. If you're a retired mobster, where in the city would your home be? Like, I'm not saying where your base is, you know, where you have your meetings. Where do you think you live, Rob? Lock Lloyd? Where do you live if you're a retired mobster that now you're looking for a place to lay your head? You used to live in Manhattan, not Kansas, Manhattan, New York. And now you got to get out because they're looking to kill you. You owe somebody a lot of money. So you're trying to lay low now. So you're like, where would they not expect me to go? Oh, yeah, Kansas City, Missouri. Now you got to find new residents. Where do you live? You got to live up north. You got to live in Gladstone in this scenario. You live in Gladstone.
I mean, you got to live a stone's throw from Garozzo's, right? Isn't that the move? Because remember at the end of Goodfellas, he says, I'm now eating pasta, but it's basically egg noodles and ketchup. If you're a mobster, you want to do mob things. Garozzo's an incredible Italian meal. I assume an Italian mobster want an incredible Italian meal. I would say he's near Garozzo's.
Okay. The series set in present day follows legendary New York City mobster Sylvester Stallone, who is faced with the startling task of reestablishing his Italian mafia family in the modernized straight-shooting town of Kansas City, Missouri. I don't even need to see a trailer on this. Just let me know when it's available, and I'll sign up for whatever subscription service you need me to sign up for. What is this going to be on? Paramount Plus? It's going to be on Hulu? What's this going to be on? Sign me up for it. I don't need to know anything else. Rob, I don't even know who else is in it. You could be the number two in this. You've never acted a day in your life. Sign me up for Stallone living in modern Kansas City, Missouri.
Are you at all concerned that Stallone can't act?
What kind of question is that?
I feel like this movie is going to be heavily reliant. show is going to be relying on an actor portraying it great, not just being Rambo slash Rocky, which is just emote and then fight someone. I'm a little bit concerned that he's not going to act at the level required for this to be good.
What kind of quit? Have you seen the Creed series? Have you seen his acting?
Yeah, he's carried by Michael B. Jordan.
No, he's carrying Michael B. He's carrying Michael B. He's sitting there on his deathbed. Stallone should have won an Oscar for his role in Creed. How can you see the emotional nature of which he supported Adrian in Rocky II and then tell me that you have questions about Stallone's acting ability? Have you seen Judge Dredd? Have you seen Demolition Man? You're telling me that guy doesn't have the emotional range to pull this off? He can't be Tony Soprano? I can't wait for this.
When you think of great mobster movies and TV shows,
I think of Stallone.
You think of the De Niro's. You think of Gandolfini. You think of all the DiCaprio played one. You think of all these great actors, and you're going to put Stallone in this category? He's going to grunt and then be angry, and you're going to be like, that's a mobster. He's going to try to do an accent. It's going to be awful.
Can I tell you one thing that, to me, just perfectly embodies the text line? Just like, I know we're having fun, but this is the text line. I can't believe you aren't watching Yellowstone, but you're taking up for this trash show with Stallone. It's not even out. How can we call this show trash if we haven't seen it? How? Have you seen the trailer? All we know is creator of Yellowstone, Stallone, plot. That's all we know. That's the text line right there. Hating before we even seen it. Just like you. Oh, can you do this? You're a hater.
I mean, the other thing text line is currently doing is naming places in town they believe are still mafia run, which I feel like seems like a dangerous avenue, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, a lot of y'all out here snitching.
Text line.
The mob still hangs out at, yo, relax. Y'all the feds.
Here are some places the mob's at. What are you doing?
The text line right now is snitching.
Trying to give Stallone some acting tips.
I used to live next to a guy. Yo, calm down. Like, what are y'all doing?
They're giving neighborhoods.
You want me to leave that on the air? What are y'all doing? The text line is the information line. That whole snitch line thing, that's the show before us. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in opening up anybody's case. I'm not interested in operating in any investigation. Keep that to the show that ends at 2. Y'all out here trying to reopen cases. Y'all trying to get years put on people. No thanks. I want to play this audio for you guys. Some of you are going to be in trouble.
The new debt collection rule from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau allows debt collectors to contact you on Facebook, Twitter, really whatever social media account that you have. The rule limits debt collectors to sending you only private messages. For example, the debt collector, right? They can't post on your Facebook wall for all your friends and the public to see that you have an overdue bill. It has to be a direct private message. Let me warn you, the collectors can do it over and over and over again.
Yo, man. Rob, what's going on here? It's one thing now that they've taken over your phone. They've taken over your phone. Some of you are dip, duck, and dodging their phone calls now. And now they can send you unlimited Facebook messages. They can send you unlimited Twitter direct messages. Unlimited? Who signed up for this? Rob, we have to be able to counter this bill, right? Like, I don't know how the process works, but we can't vote on this as a society. They can't put this on the ballot box. I don't get an opportunity to say no. You're telling me that Sally Mae can endlessly poke you on Facebook. You're telling me that your overdue cable bill, they can send you 97 Facebook messages and you can't do anything to stop it? This ain't right, Rob. This ain't right.
I can't imagine you open your phone, you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, maybe you're on Instagram, you're like, oh, a DM. I wonder what's going to happen here. Let's check it out. And it's Evergy. Hey, man. It was a little cold this month.
Have I ever told you my one Evergy story? I'll tell it real quick. One month, my bill was like four times what it normally is. I was like, yo, what's going on here? Like, how was my bill $80 last month and now it's $310? Like, what was I doing? Was I growing medical marijuana in the house and I just don't know anything about it? So I was kind of angry on the phone because I kept trying to explain to them, I didn't do this. Like, this is your error. And I will give that lady credit. I was mad for about 3 minutes. I didn't curse at her, but I was very angry. And at the end, she was like, so are you going to pay it? And I'm like, yeah, I don't have a choice. Not like I can just leave. I can't just go to your competitor down the street. Like, I don't have a choice of what to do. Ever since then, it's been blank Evergy on this side. Even though I do want to turn the lights on the plaza. So I don't know if that's a stance that I can publicly have, but they did me wrong the one time that I really needed their help. Coming up, somebody who will probably not have any issues with the debt collector sending him private messages is Mitchell Schwartz. He will be in studio. We'll talk about the Chiefs. It'll be fun. It's the Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.